Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello and welcome everyone to the Brad and Body Podcast. Got another beauty. Hello, Body. How are you, mate? Great feedback from Danny Morsu last week. That was fabulous.
Yes, that was a really good interview, and he gave us such good material. But I think we're going to get even better today because we're talking to somebody who was right there in the thick of it in Tokyo. So I'll leave you to do the intros, Brad.
Right there he was. They don't come any bigger than this one. He's been part of the Australian Boomers for many years, and he's now one of the members who will be known as the first ever team to win a medal at a men's competition by bringing back the beauty bronze at the Tokyo Olympics. He was born in Launceston, Tasmania. He went to high school in Brisbane, and he started his career as a development player with the Brisbane Bullets in 2006. He's played over 150 games in the NBL, and he's played for teams like the Brisbane Bullets, Perth Wildcats, Gold Coast Blaze. And then he moved to Melbourne, where he started at the Tigers, but they are now, of course, Melbourne United. He has had stints in the NBA Summer League, played in Spain and Italy. He is a three-time NBL champion, an NBL Grand Final MVP, a two-time All-NBL team, and he's also coming off an All-NBL second team this season. He's a former NBL scoring champion, and he's represented Australia in the under-18s, under-19s, under-20s, and as I said, he's been a Boomer since 2014. He's been to two World Championships, two Olympics, Oceania Championships, and now an Australian bronze medalist. And of course, we are talking to none other than our course locked down bronze medalist, Chris Golding. Hello, Chris.
Hello, guys. Thank you for that. That's pepped me up a little bit, that nice little bio.
Okay, well, I'm going to start off with an odd question, but because my surname is spelled N-A-G-Y and it's pronounced Nodge, and nobody would get that looking at it, I've heard your name, which is spelled G-O-U-L-D-I-N-G, as Goulding and as Golding with a silent U. So please, let us finally clear this up for the world at large. How do you pronounce your surname correctly, Chris?
Brad said it perfectly. It's Golding. We don't pronounce the U.
There you go. There you go, listeners.
So, right, thanks for having me on, guys. I'll see you later.
It's been a pleasure.
Well, I'm going to come in there first off, and I'm going to ask you, Chris, where did it all start from you? Obviously, high school in Brisbane, but talk to us. How did basketball start your career?
Professional career, you mean?
No, just all the way back.
Yeah,
so I started playing basketball when I was in Tasmania. My cousin and I distinctly remember we were on just a kids basketball team together. We were called the Super Cats, and I'm pretty sure I ran around in a red polo shirt. It was just one of those deals where you get your own shirt, your mum irons a number on the back, and you go for it. So that's where it all started for me, and just developed a love for the game. You know, as I moved to Queensland and got a bit more serious about it, I wasn't considering it as a career until, to be honest, I was 17, 18 years old. And, I just played it throughout my childhood because I loved it.
So how did your connection come with Joey Wright? I'm assuming, obviously, if you're in Queensland, Brisbane, he was coaching the Bullets, that somewhere along the way, he must have spotted you or you must have come to him. How did that association begin, Chris?
I was just playing sort of local competitions and sitting on the bench for the QBL team at the time. And I think I got paired up with Joey on his local Tuesday night team. He used to waddle around and talk shit to people and foul people and then tell
Still
everyone
does.
That it wasn't a foul and that he's Still the best
does.
Player going. So you guys know Joey. So
yeah.
I came across that. He came across me. And to cut a long story short, I ended up training with the Brisbane Bullets and becoming a development player there, all because, you know, we sort of came across each other in the local leagues in Brisbane.
So, Chris, can I ask, what actually got you to Brisbane then? Was it basketball or you were moving for study, or how did that come about?
No, I moved when I was younger. My father was involved in Aussie rules football. He was a coach in Tassie. He played quite a few years in Tasmania, and he took a coaching job up in Brisbane, a coaching job and a new job up in Brisbane. So the family relocated. We had a lot of family on the Sunshine Coast at the time. So It made sense to come up and get some of that beautiful sunshine away from Launceston.
Yeah, when Dave Claxton moved from Tasmania to Queensland, he said he'd never bought another pair of long pants, just had shorts. Now, I've talked to Joey a lot, and whenever you come up, it's almost like you are his poster boy for a young man that can see he wants to get somewhere in the sport. Like he said, you'd be the first guy in the gym, or you'd be wanting to unlock the place and get in extra shots, get in extra work with him before, after. It must be fantastic for you to now have a bronze medal and know that all that work that you put in, it paid off, and that you can, there it is. That's the blueprint. Do the work, get the result.
Yeah, I think it's probably something that I'll, kick my feet up at the end of the day when my career's over and look at, but I'm still very much in the thick of it now, you know, and
yep.
I wasn't always, I got a bit of a crash course into that hard work lifestyle because, you know, the first couple of weeks I rocked up at the Bullets, I was just a skinny little kid that was, you know, instead of going to the games on the Wednesday and Saturday nights, which me and my dad did all the time, I'm now training with these guys. So I just rocked up. I thought, how cool is this?
Yeah.
I'll rock in 20 minutes before practice. I'll bring some leftover pizza for lunch to have in between weights and practice. And, you know, this is great. But it was almost like my father was summoned to the principal. I think, you know, Joey and JVG had a meeting with my dad. I wasn't involved in it. Just talking about like, hey, there's some talent here, but you know, he's going to have to seriously work hard. You know, he has done absolutely nothing. And if he carries on this trajectory, he'll be out the door. So obviously my father had a bit of a background in professional sports and is one of the hardest working people I've ever come across in my life. So he sat me down and had that staunch father-son chat. It was almost like I was having the birds and bees chat when he sat me down, but then it went in a different direction, which I was happy about. And, you know, he just laid it out like there's an opportunity here. You don't want to look back when you're older and not have taken it. So I thank him. I thank Joey and the club for sort of setting me on the right path with that.
I had so many one-liners I could have used when you said that it was the birds and bees. But look, I want to fast forward. We can come back to the NBL career, of course. We've got to talk about the last month. Let's just talk about this Boomers, the culture that has seems to gone through. I know you've said you've probably come down. It's back to reality being in lockdown. But look, we just want to get this feeling. How are you? What are you feeling? This bronze medal, you must feel on top of the world.
Yeah, It's actually been really cool. It's been amazing. We were on such a high and we partied and we did all the things you would expect a team to do after they've just won the first men's medal at a major competition. So then, you know, you've got to be out of Tokyo 48 hours after your competition's done. So we're out. We're all feeling a little worse for wear. We're in different hotels. Some guys are in America. And, you know, whenever someone's either whinging about a quarantine hotel or has got a headache from what they did the night before, someone just perks up with, you know, a picture of the medal. You know, what does this feel? This feels like history, and it just picks us up and we go again. And, you know, it's been really cool. The group chat's just consistently keeping on going with stuff like that to keep everyone going. So it's been really cool. You know, stepping onto that podium and, yeah. Although there was no one in the crowd, but we could feel every single one of our supporters back home from,
yep.
you know, each and every side of the country. Our phones were just blowing up, going crazy. I had messages from people, I'm sure, try and throw rubbish and boo at me in the NBL. I'm sure they messaged me to say congratulations. So it was a cool feeling.
Oh, so you got Boddy's message, did you?
Yeah.
So, Chris, let me ask you how, I mean, you've been there in this group for 7 years. That's along with Paddy Mills, Joe Ingles, Matthew Dellavedova, Aaron Baines. Like, you've been part of that core group now for 7 years. These new faces that came in, like, I know Dante Exum has been in the team in and out, you know, barring injury, but generally speaking, this was sort of fresh for him, obviously new for Matisse Thybulle, new for Josh Green, new for Duop Reith. What did the team do? How did you embrace them or bring them into this culture of we are going for a gold medal? That's our goal. If we fall short, we're still going to come home as history makers. Like, what were the processes involved in getting those guys to sort of buy in? Because like Matisse Thybulle, he probably doesn't know very much about Australia.
Yeah, and you know, we've been very out there and clear with our goals for the past few tournaments, and we speak about that in every huddle. We speak about it before, after, during every practice. If something's not up to a level, well, then you know that's going to hinder us from winning a gold medal. And we have to play defense like this because that's going to help us win a gold medal. So right. Just ingraining that in everyone that steps in onto the floor. It's a consistent theme, you know, gold vibes only. That's what we want to bring to training. That's what we want to bring to games. That's what we bring to the hotel where we're staying, where guys are away from their families. And they're thrown into the fire. And, you know, we kind of joked about it afterwards. Me and P were sitting there like, how about these bastards that just roll in on their first one and get a bronze medal and think that that's just what happens?
That's how easy it is. Well, 65 years, fuck that. This is easy. Yeah,
I know. But the guys were amazing. And, you know, it's so tough because wherever guys come from, you know, they're the man. That's their team. And then just to see guys sit back, take a back seat, and just whatever needs to be done for the team will be done and accepted, and we move on. And that's what I was most proud about, you know, those guys, the Josh Greens, the Duops that didn't play a hell of a lot. And then Matisse comes in and is a focal point and kind of understands right away, hey, we're playing for something bigger than just stats and, you know, highlight plays, although there was plenty of them from him. He dove in, and he's a special guy because, you know, he connects on a deeper level than just basketball, and I think he enjoyed having that camaraderie with us.
You've only lost one game in the whole tournament that you were in, including preseason, of the three games that you won. What was the talk like after the US loss to go, right, we've got to bounce back and still got an opportunity here to make history? What was discussed after that?
It was an interesting locker room for the first, 5 minutes, because that dashes the dream that's been spoke about for however long. And, guys were rightfully disappointed and upset and emotional. And, we're all kind of sitting around, and then bang, in comes Brian Gorge. And probably the most impressive part of the whole lead up tournament, everything when it comes to Gorge for me was how he approached that and what he said. And you know, we went from being emotional wrecks or disappointed or whatever you want to call it to then being ready to, all right, let's go out there right now and play another 40 minutes against Slovenia. Like he just delivered it with oomph and emotion and a certainty in the fact that, hey, this thing's still alive and we're going to come out of here with a bronze medal. And it was goosebumps type stuff, and we were ready to roll straight away.
Yeah, I can imagine, because like I said, you're part of that core group that was there in 2014. Then it was in Rio where we lost the bronze medal game again, at the World Champs in China where we lost the bronze medal game. So getting up from that semi-final defeat, getting up from that is a really important thing to be able to do. I think Slovenia struggled with that themselves. But yeah, I was going to ask you earlier that because this core has been so strong and the culture is so strong, as to what did Brian actually have to do? What did he have to bring? Because what I've heard of him is he said that he was more or less just trying to nurture what was already there. So this must have been that moment where he needed to go, okay, no more nurturing. I'm going to make sure we win ourselves a bronze medal.
Yeah, it was. He definitely stepped to the forefront of those conversations. And, you know, that next 48 hours, he was as vocal as he had been throughout the whole tournament. And, you know, I'm a strong believer that you have to learn to win, and especially in these situations. And when you say Slovenia struggled to get back up. I agree, because we'd been in those positions.
Yes.
You know, like, there's a negative mindset that comes over you. We've lost. This is bullshit. It's this person's fault. It's that. It's this. And, you know, maybe we succumbed to that a little bit in previous tournaments, but not, you know, not this time. We spoke about that. You know, we've been here before. We know what it feels like. There's easy outs everywhere, you know, like in FIBA, there's easy outs every way you can look at it, whether it be a ridiculous unsportsmanlike call or
yes,
you know, a foul, a 3-point shooter. There's easy outs that you can say, well, this is bullshit. They've got it in for us. And I think they kind of fell into that trap a little bit.
Exactly.
There was a lot of sort of whinging going on with the refs, and that really brought us together. We, you know, we looked down the other end and said, hey, look at this, there's cracks. Let's stay together and grind this thing out. And, I thought, as much as it sucked the last couple of tournaments, that it definitely positioned us into into a place where we knew what to do.
So tell me, is there a precise moment in the game where you had the thought, you did, obviously. So what was that moment in the game where you thought, we've got a bronze medal? Because I'm just looking at my notes. Early in the last quarter, you hit a three, and we're ahead 81-67. We look like we're cruising, and they come back, they get it back again. Then we pull away another time. They get it all the way back to 86-92 on a Doncic three, and then we go on like a 10-zip run, and it's, you know, as that is unfolding, I'm sitting in my lounge chair, as probably most Australians are, going, well, we got this. They've got no answer. What point did you know?
Yeah, it was, you know, in these sort of high-pressure situations and games, you're so locked in that even if you're up 15 points or whatever it was, you really don't. It doesn't hit you that, hey, that's probably an insurmountable lead or whatever it was. I remember when we won that championship with United, I think we were up 18, 20 points with 2 minutes to go or something, or 12 points or whatever it was, a lead that you would think is pretty locked
sufficient.
In. But it doesn't hit you until 30 seconds where someone's dribbling the ball out. And it was the same here. Like, I remember crouching down on the bench. I think there was 30 seconds to go and we were dribbling the ball out. And it was like, I won't say the words I was using, but I was just swearing. Like, it was just hitting us like a ton of bricks that this is finally happening. So although it seems like it may have been much earlier, it didn't really hit me until, you know, we'd kind of stopped playing. And I guess that's just kind of how you train yourself to play until the final whistle, because you never know what could happen and all that. But, yeah, probably a lot later than some of the people watching on TV.
Tell me something. I think I know the answer to this, but like, you've won NBL championships, you've won Larry Sengstock medal, which is the best player in a championship series. This surely has to be the greatest moment in your sporting career.
Yeah, I certainly think so. I think I'll look back on it as that. And, you know, we have these conversations when we're sitting around having our third and fourth coffee of the day in you know, we're in the bubble in Las Vegas and there's nothing else to do except sit in the team room and have coffees, and we have these conversations with the NBA guys, like, what would you prefer, an NBA championship or a gold medal with Australia?
And
everyone was gold medal medal. And it kind of took Matisse by surprise a little bit, because the Americans would probably say the opposite, but for just us Aussies to just be so staunch in what would be a highlight for us. Now, this isn't a gold medal, but it is history. So, for sure.
Yep.
And just the response to everyone, like response from everyone back home and friends and people you haven't spoke to in years and years and years. I think this is definitely bigger and more of a highlight.
Chris, I want to ask you now, what's going through your mind now, the letdown of what you've just done, but you've got to now bounce back up. You've lost Mitch McCarron, that's going to Adelaide, Jock Langale going to Spurs, you've brought in Matty Dellavedova. I'm interested to know, have you even thought about United season coming up?
Yeah, I have, because I can't turn my mind off, but I'm more thinking about it as a, you know, let's lay the foundations as opposed to like, let's get to work right away. Because I personally, once I get out of this quarantine, I need a break. I think the thought of diving straight into, you know, especially my leadership role at United and the little extra things that come with that kind of gives me shivers to go straight out of hotel quarantine to that. But I'll take, you know, I say that and I'll take 3 or 4 days where I don't do anything. I don't speak to anyone from the club and I'll start itching. I'll start sending texts and, you know, it'll switch pretty quickly. But I like what our club's done. You know, we lose some impressive players. We bring in some impressive players and it's part of the challenge and the journey is to, hey, can we build this thing again? You know, we know things that work. We know things that we could get better at. Can we build this up to a point where we're hanging something in the rafters again?
Well, we've been sort of looking at the people that you've been picking up, and there's Brad Newley, he's 36. You've got Matthew Dellavedova in his 30s. You're in your 30s now. So your two import spots, are you looking at Luis Scola at 41 and Pau Gasol at 37?
Yeah, and just to run it back, we're going to bring Dave Anderson for another year.
Yeah. Okay.
I think you know, there's I mean, it's a fact, right? It's a fact. We've got some older bodies, but you know, one thing Dean is very smart in how he prepares his teams, and one thing I do know is there's some competitors, you know, in that list you've just mentioned. So when we train and we go, we'll be going hell for leather, and that's one thing. There won't be a question mark around is the competitiveness of that group and how they love to win.
How do you get on with Dean from a leadership point of view? Because obviously you guys are on the same page as far as that goes, but as a shooter, like I find it frustrating that you might hit 2 or 3 threes in a row early in the first quarter, and then it's sort of the moment comes where you've got to sit down and someone else has got to come in. It's almost like, you know, a substitution pattern that's prearranged. Which, look, I know everyone likes to feel comfortable knowing where they fit in the rotation, but is it ever frustrating for you when you've just banged in a couple and you're feeling, you know, well, to me it looks like you're feeling good. I'm going to go to this guy for the next 3 plays, and this game could be over by quarter time, but instead you're sitting down. Is that a frustration that you experience? And if so, have you spoken to him about it?
It's not something that is in the forefront of my mind. Maybe at that exact point in time, I may feel like, oh, I could have got another one off here or something like that. But if I was younger, buddy, yeah, probably. I would worry about getting a few more threes up. But I also know that this is the, if you want to call it a burden or a privilege, of being on a championship caliber team.
Yeah.
You know, like everyone sacrifices in different areas. So if I have to sacrifice an extra 1 3-point shot to have Udai Baba or Shea Ili or Sam McDaniel or those sort of guys coming off the bench, chomping at the bit, ready to extend the lead, well then I'm more than comfortable to do that at the stage of my career and with what I've accomplished. You know, I think people know I can shoot threes, so no need to try and prove that for another couple. But I mean, I do like to get on a roll, buddy.
Yes, Chris. When you're rolling, I'd never sub you off. Yeah, I'd never sub you off when you're rolling.
Hey,
I'd sit you down, but if you've got 3 in a row, Jesus, I'd just ride that. Anyway, that's just me. Go, Brad.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask a question. Chris, you and Paddy go way back, if I'm not mistaken. Emus, under 19s?
Yeah.
So you have a very, very long history of playing together. That must have been extra special doing what you've just done.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I've had the best seat in the house for a lot of Paddy's, you know, green and gold career from the early stages. Obviously, he moved into the senior men's program a few years before I did. And I think the most special thing for me is how much it still means to a guy that's accomplished everything, you know, like, and how hard he works and prepares, and what goes through his mind is 100% green and gold success. And You know, there was a couple of times where we sit there on the balcony having a beer with medals around our neck, and you know, he kind of says, if only people knew what we went through to get to this, you know, like it's not all glitz and glamour. This guy's sacrificing his off seasons every single year to put in the work that he needs to do to be successful as a pro and take care of his family, but then to also as well. So it's been really cool. And there's moments like that with everyone, you know. Me and Jock just win a championship together take 3 days off, roll into the USA and win a bronze medal. Like, how cool is that for our relationship? And you can go down the line, everyone with that. But Paddy's just, he's a superstar, mate. I can't say a bad word about him.
Well, you obviously mean a lot to him. I don't know if you've seen his Twitter feed, but there's a photo of you hugging him and it's brilliant. It gives me goosebumps every time I see it.
Oh, I haven't. I'm not a big Twitter guy. I'm an Insta guy. But yeah, I've seen a few of the things that he's been posting. You can tell he's on cloud nine, mate. He's so proud. He loves this country, and I'm sure everyone's proud of him.
Can I just ask, what does RGVO mean? Is this a thing between the team? Is it something rose gold? There's a lot of hashtag RGVO going on.
Yeah, so we had our thing, gold vibes only. That was our, you know, we only wanted gold vibes. That's what we were going for. And then obviously we didn't win the gold, and someone was like, hey, you know what? This looks a little like rose gold. So we just switched it up for the time being.
Awesome.
Chris, I want to ask you a serious question because this intrigues me. You said it's been a long journey, and it's had its ups and downs. But I want to just take you back probably to the worst moment of your career, the incident that occurred in Manila when we played the Philippines some, I don't know, 4 years ago or thereabouts. And obviously you've recovered completely from that physically, but emotionally and mentally, how have you done? Because that you know, do you have flashbacks or did you get some counselling? Is it sort of very much in your past, or does that ever sort of come back and sort of haunt you a bit? Because just the sight of that, you know, this pack of mad animals sort of all over you, and a guy with a chair banging on you, it's like, even when I think of it, I get disturbed. And I wonder how, I mean, you've won two championships, you're playing some of the best basketball of your life, so obviously you've handled it, but how have you done that, and does it bother you at times?
The completely honest answer is no, it doesn't bother me at times anymore. If you'd asked me 2 weeks after, of course. It was a wild thing to be a part of, but that's 100% in the past. You know, we joke about it at times now. You know, I don't know why, but I feel like I've been, at the time, like I wasn't injured. It was more just like the magnitude of it, as opposed to like getting punched. Like, I guess they didn't hit very hard. I've been hit harder, you know. Like,
I think Nathan took a good one.
The situation and the fallout was more so than the physical toll and all that. So, 100% in the past.
Good.
What I will tell you is I will not be holidaying in the Philippines anytime soon.
That's obviously because you haven't had the COVID vaccination, obviously, is what you're talking about.
I reckon they might stop me at the border.
Yeah, you may be. Chris, look, it's that time of the segment, and look, you're just phenomenal. We haven't touched on so much, but it was Olympics today. We want to throw something at you now that we do every week, and all we do is throw a name at you, and all we're looking for is a one-word, one-sentence answer of what that person means and the first things that comes to your mind. So I'm going to start it off. Joey Ingles.
This isn't like a quick fire thing. I need a second to think. Joe Ingles, machine, just purely for the partying afterwards.
Okay, this one might be easier for you. Adam Gibson.
It's my mate, old mate Gibbo. I know we're meant to do one word, but he took me under his wing at the Bullets, and I got a lot of love for Gibbo. What a great player.
Yeah, great answer, and he is too. I'll throw someone different. You've mentioned him in this pod. Brian Gorshin.
Enigma. He just, like, I'd never been coached by Gorge, and coming into that, I was like, you know, like, what's this guy all about? And then he just does some things that you just, like, bam, that's why he's so great. That's why he's done what he's done. So, yeah, he's an enigma.
Can I just segue from that and ask you, did he show a great deal of emotion in the aftermath of winning the bronze? Because he presents as a very stoic, feet on the ground, level-headed sort of guy, very pragmatic. But I did hear a radio interview with him, and towards the end he did blubber a bit and he did get emotional, and I was absolutely thrilled to hear that, sort of hear that side of him, having seen it with Paddy and obviously Andrew Gay. So did he show any great emotion within the group after he'd won the medal?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't broken down crying, but we were, you know, the emotion was just joy and excitement and pride, and he definitely exuded that, you know, as much as everyone else did. And, you know, we sing a song after, and he was right in the middle of that. And yeah, absolutely. It was an emotional time for everyone.
I think it's also a good time to sort of shout out to his assistants as well. I'm a good mate of mine, Matty Nilsson. He looked like he was a huge part of that. Played with Matty. You must thought fantastic coach in the waiting.
Yeah, Matty, Capes, John Rilley, these guys were big time. You know, a lot of gameplay and tactics and substitution patterns ran through those guys. And, you know, JR was our defensive head of defense. How he got that job,
I was gonna say,
I've already lined myself up for the head of defense at the Brisbane Olympics. I mean, all you have to do is not play any and you can be the head of defense at the Boomers. It's perfect. So we had a bit of fun with JR on that.
There is a little bit of a whisper going out there that Perth might be looking at him.
Is that right?
Yeah, I've heard that too. Yep. Yep.
Okay. They're great. They were fantastic all throughout the tournament.
Okay, brilliant. I'm going to throw the last one at you, and really an unsung hero here, and someone that did get forgotten a little bit, but I'm sure not by you guys. Aaron Baines.
The banger. the big banger. Like he as much as it sucked and everything, he was still such a part of it. You know, he was FaceTiming us after wins, FaceTiming us after losses. You know, we accepted the medal for him. He's a warrior and been such a part of this Boomers program for so many years. It sucks so bad that he couldn't physically stand on that dais, but you know, he was there with us every step of the way, and he deserves the medal just as much as anyone else.
Can I ask a question? I know you two have got the same agent. Does that make it closer for you guys, or that's sort of irrelevant because you're close anyway?
It's not really relevant. I mean, sometimes we come across each other's paths in different ways, either in an off season or functions to do with the agent or something like that. But yeah, it doesn't necessarily make us closer.
Yeah, cool.
When you left Tokyo, was Aaron still in hospital?
Aaron has been under medical care, yeah, pretty much the whole time.
So that's obviously a really serious injury.
Yeah, to be honest, mate, like, and why would they tell me? I haven't been told.
No, but I'm just thinking back to a time when Nate Jawai had some damage when he was playing in Europe. He damaged his neck, or there was some nerve damage. It was just and yeah, he went through like 18 months of hell. So,
thoughts and prayers go out to him. That's for sure. Yeah,
absolutely,
for sure.
All right, I got one more for you, Joey Wright.
He's kind of like my uncle, you know, like at times I'm sure he wanted to just wring my neck. There's times I was just like, Joey, come on, man, are you serious? But I've definitely 2,000% would not be where I am today if it wasn't for him taking a chance on a skinny little kid that shot bad shots in the Brisbane League. So, so much love. He's kind of like a distant part of my family. I've been around him and had so much to do with him for so long.
Oh, great answer.
Thank you.
Chris, we, like I said, we could talk forever. And, you know, there's a number of things that come to my mind when I think of you. And number one is just a great guy. Every time I ever see you, it's g'day, Brad. You always got time for everyone. You know, I think you're a huge part of why our NBL is where it is today. You're always time. You go down to Melbourne and it's CG43. And, yeah, you're hated by every opposition. And that's just because that's you're just so damn good. Exactly. So
it's bums on seats.
Absolutely. You are an absolute joy to watch. You're a superstar of our league, and now you're also a bronze medalist. We cannot thank you enough for coming in here today and having this chat. I hope lockdown goes quick for you. And again, we wish you all the best for the next season, but what a superstar, and thanks for joining us.
Appreciate you guys. I'm now also a member of the Brad and Body podcast.
Good on you, Chris.
Charter member. See you, mate. Thanks.
See you, mate. Thanks
again.
See
you, guys.
Oh, we didn't get out half as much as we wanted to there with Chris. But that
all the
was
NBL
phenomenal.
Stuff we didn't.
I know. We've got to have him back. What a great guy. And just, you know, that's like I said, you know, like he's a bit of like, I don't know, is it enigma? What is it with him? It's just something that he's just, I just love him. I think he's great.
He's a very charismatic character and a very good player. And, you know, he's the player that if he's on your team, you love to love. And if he's on the opposition, you love to hate. So
he brings
the whole pandemonium to life.
He does. He cops a pounding. You know what I mean? He cops, he's been told he does this and he does that. Whatever it is, he is damn good for our sport.
He's come to terms with crowds being on him, and I think he recognised, if they're all yelling at me, that's because they actually respect me and are frightened of what I might do to them.
But you see that players come that full swing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Where I'm sure in social media now, which is terrible these days, I'm sure there's things on social media that wouldn't be said nice about him, and young people take offence to that. But as you get older, you start, you know, now it's like just pure respect.
Back when I think the 36ers ended up playing Perth for the championship, so we're going back a good 7, 8, 9 years, when Melbourne Tigers came to town, the crowd got onto Chris, and I think it definitely affected him.
Yeah.
He had a very poor game in the deciding semi-final. So I think from there to now I think he'd come in and he's looking forward. What is the crowd going to bring? You know, what are they going to give?
What a great position to be in, because there's really, like, he's done everything. So he's coming into seasons now where it would just be such a nice feeling. I know he'll put the pressure on himself because he's a champion, but just to be able to know, like, I just think it's fabulous. And look, let's continue talking about the Boomers. I hope Aaron Baines is okay.
Because I know Nate Jawai was really, his career really skidded when he suffered that nerve damage in his. I think it was in his neck or his shoulder. I can't remember now.
Well, I remember he had a heart problem too, didn't he, Nate?
Oh, that was in the NBA,
irregular
heartbeat or something of that nature. Yeah. The question I've got for you is what I've seen now since the bronze medal success has been talk about how Australia is now going to be always in that middle sort of group, always.
That's it.
Yeah, yes, that we're now going to be the new Lithuania or the new Spain. And I'm sort of wondering, what do you think about that? Because Paddy might still be around for the next Olympics. Maybe a couple of them might still be around as sort of senior citizens in the team. But is there enough stuff coming? If Ben Simmons plays, if Josh Giddey continues to blossom and you add that to the group, it can look pretty good. But,
I'll tell you right now, my biggest belief is they only just need to look at the Opals, right? Because as good as you can be and as great as talent as you can, if you don't get that culture right, you are not going to win at World Championships and Olympics.
Yep.
Now, the culture and listening to Chris and just knowing what you've heard, like that goosebumps that I get when I listen to them, I can only imagine that was like a force field, that team. Do you know, like it was it had that force field, like a Marvel thing. You know what I mean? It was a force field, and didn't matter what you do, anyone throws something in, it will bounce off. And you heard that even when they're talking about that game. Oh, you know, the opposition, they were getting frustrated, but we've been there. We're right. So that to me is what's going to be the worry. Well, I think we'll have talent. Right. We'll have talent. There's so much good kids coming through, but it's the culture of what they will need to do so that we don't have an Opal situation. And that's probably the scariest thing for me. And Basketball Australia have got to take that on themselves now to make sure they build with that with the future.
I really like what US coach, San Antonio Spurs coach Greg Popovich said to Brian Gorge in the wake of the Olympics, saying that, you know, or actually it was in after the semifinal, he said that, "I really love your team. You know, you've got the best team." The emphasis was on that yep. word team, that yep. they played like it, they functioned like it, everybody understood their roles and fulfilled them. And they fulfilled their promise and came home with the medal. So I'm just curious as to what the future holds for that program. We're not that far away from a world championship. We're not that far away from another Olympics. I think Brian could go again if they went and asked him. What do you think, Matt Nielsen in the wings as the next potential Olympic coach?
Oh, you'd have to think so. I mean, look, Matty's now G League coach. I know there's been talk about Perth, but I don't know if he'll come back to Perth. I have no idea. I mean, he's a close friend of mine, but I don't ask those questions. That's not something, whether he'd tell me or not, I have no idea. But
we need to get him on the podcast. I'll ask
him. Yeah, I wouldn't do that to him. But look, I think he is so well entrenched in that NBA, G League, San Antonio thing. I'd be shocked if he came back. Of course, he would be the number one guy I would be having there as the Boomers. Mm. He's been there. He's done it all. And more than anything, just so well respected. Yep. You know, so, but look, I couldn't be happier with the way the Boomers had, and we shouldn't really be looking forward, you know, like, will they do this? Will they? Right now, we've got another few years that we can dominate. That's as simple as it is. We've got that team.
Let's savor this while we can. Let's just really enjoy this. And hopefully, as I mentioned with Danny Morso's pod, that, hopefully Basketball Australia will get some marketing out of this and some merchandise out there. Why that hasn't already happened.
You know, it was interesting. I've got to be honest with you. I made some inquiries. I made some phone calls to some friends of mine and I asked them about that. And one of the things they said to me is, it is not super easy to get a singlet with an Olympics thing on it because there's a lot of, you know, marketing.
Oh, yeah.
But you could still go different angles. You know what I mean? Yeah. It doesn't have to have.
The uniform they wore in Las Vegas, we could replicate
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something like yeah. that. But yeah, it's just, but I agree with you. And I just hope that, you know, the NBL season is not put off too long. If at all, hopefully it's not at all, but with this, you know, COVID, Melbourne's been locked down for another few days. Sydney is in major lockdown at the moment. And obviously with what's going on around Australia, I just hope we don't have a situation where, you know, the essence and the enthusiasm of what's happened, I just hope it can continue and roll into our new season.
Good note on which to end. Next week, we'll be talking to Mitch McCarron and we'll be talking, NBL. We're getting into the national basketball and what's been going on. So hopefully, yeah, we'll have a season. That's the most.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to speaking to Mitch. Obviously, he's moved now from a championship winning point guard over to Adelaide, which will be a great, he'll be awesome there. But yeah, we'll have a chat with him. I'm looking forward to that.
Didn't you say that Melbourne can't win the championship without having an American point guard? That Mitch McCarron and Shea Lee wouldn't be able to get that done?
Sorry, mate. You cut out, mate.
You cut out.
No, oh. I will be the first to admit it. I did not think that would work. And all credit has to go.
Didn't I tell you? It would.
Yeah. All credit has to go to him at the point guard. Like, I mean, I did not. That was unbelievable. Just unbelievable. But we'll talk about that next week. And I'm sure you will tend to bring it up. I intend to.
I absolutely intend to.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. Everyone, thank you so much. And can also shout out to everyone. Thank you so much for the feedback on the Danny Morso.
Yep.
We are unbelievable, the feedback and how much people love that. And we have just loved giving this podcast. And I've enjoyed bringing people in. And, you know, as crazy it sounds, we haven't had to talk so much about what's going on in the NBL and WNBL. It's actually freed us up more time to do what we needed to do. So I know these pods have gone on a little bit longer than we normally will, and we will get them back to that 30, 35 minute mark. But how can you know, there's no way we are stopping Chris Golding saying whatever he wants today.
Yeah, anybody. And the other thing I want to quickly say is Danny Morso was a suggestion by one of our listeners, John O'Slade. He sent that to me and said, why don't you have him on? I thought that's a good idea, and that's why we spent some time tracking him down. So, listeners, if you've got someone that you'd like us to interview that we might not have thought of, hey, feel free to text us or email, whatever you want. You know, we will follow up. And, the proof is in the pudding. All right, let's get out of here.
Yeah, but can I say, I didn't mean that Chris was talking a lot. I meant that we just kept having to ask Chris questions. I felt so sorry for him. Mate, good night, everyone. Thank you so much. What a fantastic week. And, of course, thank you, Burger Boss, our fantastic sponsors. Yes,
Burgers in the world.
And Piranha Media, we love your feedback and we love all your backing as well. So thank you so much, everyone. Until next week, have a ripper.
Okay, now, are we good now? you know, like, are you over the whole Phil Smythe dabble that I had? Yeah, you know, are we good?
Look, I'm going to be honest and say no, right? Because you're just,
this is just a one-off. I weakened.
Mate, you sound like the Friends episode. We were on a break. No, we weren't. Okay, we were not on a break. But I'll tell you what, if you can give me the Joe Ingles partying, and if we can go out and party like him, yeah, okay. I reckon we can make up.
Do my best.